From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue his series in the Lord's Prayer with the concluding portion of a message called Why We Believe God Will Hear Our Prayer for Victory Over Sin and Satan. As we begin this new year, we'd like to introduce the senior minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Armin Tomassian. In the course of this year's programs, we'll present a brief sermon clip from Pastor Tomassian's messages at the church to acquaint you with his ministry. Now, a word from the Lord from Reverend Tomassian.
So here we are, in a time where we must admit that it isn't exactly a great wind of God that's blowing across the churches in this part of the world in these days. So we can basically do a number of things. We can either resign ourselves to it and say, well, this is the day in which we live, and we'll do nothing. Just kind of hope that things will turn around at some point. Or we can get pragmatic and say, well, the Lord's not working, we'll make something happen anyway. So we use all the technology or use all the things that we can to manipulate people and get them into decisions and get them to walk aisles and get them to sign cards and get them to sign up for this, that, and the other. And then we'll tell them, look, you know, you've nodded your head a few times and you seem to agree with everything I said and you're a Christian. Or we can pray. And pray. And pray. And pray. And pray. And keep praying. You think of the church. Tarry in Jerusalem. I mean, they're ready to go. They're just ready, itching to go. And the Lord said, just wait. And so they wait. They gather in the upper room and they pray. And they pray. And they pray for days. Keep praying. Seeking God. Because I think they heard what the Lord said, the way we all should. Tarry until he be endued with power from on high. There's certain things implied there. Number one, the need to wait, of course. Number two, that the waiting will come to an end at some point. And three, you will know that point when... not when you're fed up, or not when you determine that I've prayed enough, but until you have evidence that the Spirit of God has come. So that's what they did. They tarried until they were endued with power from on high. They tarried until the Holy Spirit came upon them and the power of the highest overshadowed them. They had no other plan. And if they had sought to conjure one up, they would have failed miserably. So I say to you, beloved, here in Faith Free, of all the things we need to do, and there are many things to do, we need to tarry. We all need to be tarrying. That was certainly the impression that was left upon me in study this week.
Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. Make soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, Let us pray. To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer, free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Dr. Cairns is nearing the conclusion of this series on the Lord's Prayer, he is now dealing with the closing doxology of the prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." He has shown the necessity of retaining these words as a vital part of the prayer, demonstrating that this closing affirmation is intimately related to all of the preceding petitions. God has both the authority and the power to keep believers from temptation and from sin. He is able to deliver his people in the midst of the worst trials of life. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize in the closing portion of the message, God receives great glory from the testimony of redeeming, transforming grace in the lives of those saved through the blood of Christ. Nothing exalts the Lord more than a life lived in holiness. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, "Why We Believe God Will Hear Our Prayer for Victory Over Sin and Satan."
To the thought of God's power should give us confidence to pray, "Deliver us from evil." And finally, we pray that we do so with confidence because God our Father is greatly glorified by the victory of sanctifying grace in the lives of His people. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory. You know, there's nothing speaks more eloquently to the glory of God than genuine holiness in the ex-slaves of sin. That's what makes a Christian's testimony such a wonderful thing. I have two minds here, really. I agree with the late Martin Lloyd-Jones that many churches have turned to testimony meetings and have devalued preaching that God calls us to preach. And I have a great sense that there's truth in that. But on the other hand, I think that perhaps we have swung too much the other way. And I've been giving some thought to this recently, that we don't give enough time in the public gospel meetings for the testimonies of God's people. Now, when I'm talking about testimonies, I'm not talking about, "Well, now, I had a wonderful devotional last week. I had woke up with a headache and I got a verse of scripture that was a great comfort to me and I learned a great lesson through it," and that's a testimony. That's an insult, not a testimony. That's a lot of words from somebody who has nothing to say. I'm talking about the testimony that Paul gave, and he delighted to give. The testimony of saving grace. And one of the fascinating things about a testimony is that nobody ever has any answer to it. And when I come with theological truth, there'll always be some character who believes that he has a philosophical answer. Of course, he doesn't have, but he may delude himself that he has. When a poor Christian goes and gives a verse of scripture to some learned sinner, that sinner may be able to trip him up, make him look a fool. But there's one thing to which the world has no answer, and it is the story of grace in the life of a Christian. I always, when I point a person to Christ, I always encourage them to be a witness to Jesus Christ. And if you don't have all the answers, don't worry. If somebody can trip you up, don't worry. Just give them your testimony. Tell them what God has done for you. And there's not a thing in the world that anybody can say about it. It's a glorious thing about a testimony. Speaks eloquently. Many of you have heard the program that's still put out from the Pacific Garden Mission, Unshackled. I don't get to hear it a lot, but I always have thrilled to listen to those dramatizations of the true stories of the people who have come into the mission. Drunkards, drug addicts, runaways, you name it, people who have fallen deep into sin. And they come under the sound of the gospel and they are gloriously saved and forever delivered. It's a wonderful story. Now, of course, it's the same grace and it's the same power, and it takes just as much grace and power to save the person who never snorted drugs in his life, who never got drunk in his life, who never was immoral in his life. It takes as much grace and power to save that sinner. testimony of every Christian is equally great. We were all slaves to sin. And when you get a slave to sin, walking in holiness, I want to tell you, it glorifies God. Glorifies God. As nothing else can do. It's better than a choir. I like to hear a good choir. You did well this morning. I like to hear a good choir. But here's something better than a choir. In many ways, better than a preacher. The strongest testimony. Here's an ex-slave of sin, walking in holiness. When I see drunkards, I have pointed to Christ, and have never been drunk again. And they're living a godly life. I'm going to tell you, that doesn't glorify me, but that glorifies my Savior. If you read the little book that we have in the book room of some of the stories of the people who were saved through Dr. Paisley's ministry, you'll read in there the story of Joe Black. For many years, the caretaker, the janitor, whatever you want to call him, of Dr. Paisley's church in the Ravenhill Road. The best man at the job I ever knew. And ever has been a church caretaker like Joe Black. The whole of the Ravenhill Road knew Joe Black. Some people who hated Ian Paisley yet loved Joe Black. And I'll tell you why. Here was the most miserable man in the road. Man whose home life was wretched, miserable, who drowned his sorrows in liquor, who rolled home drunk every night, who came to the edge of suicide, was actually physically lifted in the arms of the then young Ian Paisley as he clung to the metal railings, a place called the Ormo Park in Belfast, on his way to the River Lagan to drop himself into hell. As Ian Paisley practically carried him a couple of hundred yards down to the church, left him in a prayer room, went out to pray, and prayed Joe Black sober. And that night, Joe Black met Jesus. His friend said, "We'll give you a week." The week came and went, "We'll give you to Christmas." Christmas came and went, "We'll give you to Easter." Easter came and went, and they gave him up as a bad job. He scared the preacher because when Mr. Paisley met him the Sunday after his conversion, he said, "Well, Joe, what did you do the first night on your way home from work?" He said, "I went back to the pub, the bar. I went back to the pub." And the preacher was scared, but he needn't have been. Joe said, "Mr. Paisley, I went back to the pub to go in to tell them I have met with Christ. He has saved my soul, and I'm here to tell you, I will never be here again." And he never was. The whole Ravenhill Road talked about the change in Joe Black. Who could do that? Who could do it? None but Christ can do guilty sinners good. Therefore the glory belongs to him. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Paul told Titus to exhort the saints. to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And he meant by their good works. He wrote to the Corinthians and he said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He was talking about their moral purity. He was talking about them living in holiness in the midst of a society of great wickedness. And he says, as you as Christians live in holiness amidst the wickedness of this world, you are glorifying God. Worries me when Christians are afraid to be out of step with this ungodly age. Worries me when Christians are afraid to be counted odd, to look different, to act different from this vicious age in which we live. Worries me. Why? Because, listen, it is the mind of the flesh that tells you you've got to look like the world and run with the world in order to have an influence on the world. That is the devil's lie. You will glorify God as you live in holiness. The holiness of the ex-slaves of sin is what brings most glory to the Lord in this wicked world. If you ever look at the people who have done most for God, they have been the people who have been most unlike the world, but most like their Savior. The Lord himself even celebrates the holiness of his people. He boasted of Job's holiness. I wonder, could he boast of yours and mine? I wonder, can God hold you and me up and say, even to the devil, look at that man, look at him, look at that woman. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, but I see of them, and look at the jab I have made of them. Look at the holiness in their lives. Look at the devotion in their lives. Look at the love they have for Christ. Look at the way they separate from sin. Look at the integrity they show in every department of their lives. Look at them in the place of prayer when there's no eye upon them but mine. Look at them in their devotion to the Word of God. I wonder, can God even challenge the powers of hell by pointing to your testimony? He could do it in the case of Job. The Lord boasted of the holiness and integrity of his saints. There's a coming day, according to Ephesians 3:10, when he make all the angelic creation praise him. Why? For his wisdom. He's going to make them praise him and say, how manifold is the wisdom of God. Why? Because he created all these stars? No, it only took a word to do that. Because of all these sinners, he saved from hell and made them holy. Ephesians 3:10 says, unto principalities and powers in heavenly places will be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. There's nothing brings greater glory to the Lord than holiness. He loves us to be in victory over sin and over Satan. And that's why he encourages us to pray, deliver us from evil, because thine is the glory. Remember what he said in Psalm 50, in verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So here then are the three reasons why we may be confident that God will hear us when we pray for victory over sin and over Satan. He has the prerogative, thine is the kingdom. He has the power, thine is the power. And he will receive the praise, thine is the glory. So let us take this text. Let's take this great petition. We live in a world of increasing wickedness. Not that man is becoming more depraved. Man has been utterly depraved from the beginning. But that God is more and more, as time reaches its climax, withdrawing the restraining hand. He's going to let men do what they will to their own destruction. as we live in the midst of increasing sinfulness and wickedness, we will need to know what it is to pray this great petition. Lord, lead me not into temptation. I want to follow close in your footsteps. Deliver me from evil. And as you pray that, remember, he has the prerogative to answer. He has the power to answer. And he is glorified by answering. Ask with confidence. The Lord delights to make us a holy people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.